Me, Sarah Faulkner.
And me, Lauren Jambroni.
Our show is dedicated to exploring healing and wellness from a liberatory perspective, critiquing top-down systems and institutions.
Instead, we look up and around from below and alongside, the way roots and rhizomes grow.
So join us every third Monday of the month at 3 p.m.
right here on WGXE.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Hammertown, bringing home furnishings and community to three store locations in Pine Plains, Rhinebeck, and Great Barrington, Massachusetts, and a weekly newsletter featuring local businesses, events, recipes, and book reviews. Love where you live at hammertown.com.
Hey, welcome to Roots Runners Rhizomes, Health and Healing from the Underground. I'm Sarah Faulkner.
And I'm Lauren Jambroni.
This show is dedicated to exploring healing and wellness from a liberatory perspective, critiquing top-down systems and institutions.
Instead, we look up and around from below and alongside the way roots and rhizomes grow.
Our show has not been evaluated by the FDA or any official licensing body, and our intention is not to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease on air.
By providing discussion, critique, and information from a variety of viewpoints, we hope you'll feel more empowered, informed, and resourced as you explore your own options for self-care and working with different practitioners and providers.
Today, we're going to be speaking with Emmett Phipps about an upcoming event at Third Root Community Health Center in Flatbush, Brooklyn.
The event is called Going to the Doctor on Your Own Terms, Mixing Allopathic and Holistic Healing. It's on Sunday, December 4th from 2 to 4 p.m., again at the Third Root Community Health Center, which is 380 Marble Road.
Emmett Phipps is a queer, white, trans person living with type 1 diabetes in Brooklyn, New York. They worked as a primary care public health registered nurse for 3 years at Callan Lord Community Health Center with lesbian, gay, bi, queer, T-spirit, transgender, and gender nonconforming folks living with diabetes and HIV/AIDS. Emmett has been trained in North American herbalism and is now in school to become a nurse practitioner. Emmett's currently doing community work as an ally with the Audre Lorde Project's Third Space Healing Program and is preparing to co-author an article for the National Organizers Alliance about supporting people in organizer communities who live with chronic illness.
Welcome to the show, Emmett.
Hi, guys.
Hey, welcome. How are you?
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here.
Well, good. Good to hear. So we're excited about talking to you about this event coming up on the 4th. So that you also organized. Can you tell us a little bit about the event and how you came to put it together?
Sure. So my amazing friend and colleague, Delaney Fontaine, who is actually a practicing acupuncturist as well as a registered nurse, asked me if I'd do this workshop with them. It seemed really apropos for me to be doing this kind of workshop because I really have a long and winding sort of bunch of experience in medicine, both personally and professionally, and mm-hmm. really interested in sharing that. And I just, the question about why I'm interested in doing this, I am someone who lives with chronic illness. So I said in my bio, I have type 1 diabetes. I've been going to the doctor really frequently since I was 18, which has really shaped, my view of healthcare. I really never found what I was looking for in allopathic providers, and it really wasn't until I found other ways to take care of myself, including herbs, that kind of clicked. But I was really looking for someone to pay attention to my quality of life, how my mind and body and spirit work together, and also things I could do besides take my insulin that would sort of support my long and short-term health. So that's a long way to say that, I'm doing the work that I do and this workshop because I really want to sort of actualize this desire that I have and sort of share it. I really strongly believe that medical providers are there to sort of humbly share information and support people through illness and wellness, both. And I want to be supported in this way. And I want to build healing practices that, promote actual healing and caring and loving in community contexts. So depending on the needs of different communities, either geographic or cultural. This is sort of like the base reason why I wanted to sort of share my experience as someone who lives with a chronic illness and also as a nurse working with people who live with chronic illness.
Mm-hmm.
As a nurse, I really tried to sort of put this idea into action, and I really saw so much how people struggled on a daily basis with their own traditions of healing really being disregarded and criticized by medical providers in the clinic that I worked at, especially people living with HIV and diabetes. So I thought, this is perfect. We'll start with the real basics. So we'll be talking about, who are these providers, that we go to see? What does a nurse practitioner do? What does a physician assistant do? What does an MD do? So we're going to really start, by defining these terms that we hear. And we'll also go a little bit into the origins of allopathic medicine, which, hasn't really been around that long. And and actually, before I go on, I want to just define...
What
allopathic...
Back up a little for folks, too, just so we're very clear, because... I think we were both struck by the definitions in the description for the workshop of both allopathic medicine and holistic medicine. So if you want to maybe start with that for our listeners, just to clarify how you're framing everything, that would be great.
Sure, absolutely. So on our flyer, in the workshop, we define allopathic medicine as what we would consider, we call Western medicine. So the practice of conventional Western medicine that uses pharmacological drugs and physical interventions to treat or suppress disease and its symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
So, meaning, when you would, feel sick, you've had a sore throat for 2 weeks, you go to your local community health center, you see a doctor or a nurse practitioner for a couple minutes. They, look in your throat, maybe diagnose you with something, and then give you a medication. So it's that that practice is what we're talking about when we say allopathic medicine. And we also define holistic medicine, and that here is defined as diverse global systems of healthcare addressing and treating the whole person in the larger context of their community. So this is a very broad definition.
Yeah.
I think it can mean a lot of different things. I think that can really mean practices that consider a person in different ways, not just as having a disease to be treated, but also, for example, in acupuncture, where, in that tradition, the body is sort of looked at in some more integrated ways, so everything working all together.
Mm-hmm. And so some of the stated goals for the workshop, some things in the description that you say you're going to talk about include... one in particular that Lauren and I were super excited about, the question, how can we create bridges between our holistic self-care and the allopathic experience? So we'd love to hear you speak to that right now.
Sure. That is not an easy question, right? It's not an easy question to answer. Which I'm also very excited about the workshop and being able to really talk to folks about this. I was thinking about this too. How does this happen? Because everyone sort of has their own experience, with illness and with allopathic providers. And I was thinking, just sort of actually having this workshop and creating this space where there are folks sort of just talking about these links is a kind of a great way to have this bridge, right? so there's just like the workshop itself, and all of us sort of talking about, you know, the struggles that we've had. Because, you know, Delaney and I are both practitioners, but we're also patients, you know. Sort of, for me, like, I'm coming to this as, like, someone who's you know, really struggled with the medical establishment. So, let's see, how can we create bridges between our holistic self-care and the allopathic experience? I think, you know, I think part of this is knowing what allopathic medicine, quote-unquote, is good for, and sort of what expectations we can have from our medical providers. You know, I think that something that we don't talk about that much, like, so why would I even go, you know, to an allopathic provider when I could, you know, take an herb or go to acupuncture? So like, having, you know, sort of defining that a little bit, I think we're gonna try to do that. I think specifically define, well, certainly if you have chronic illness, right? But this is sort of my perspective here. It's like, you know, living with chronic illness, I have to go to the doctor. If I didn't take insulin, I would die. So for me, it's like really knowing, like feeling that like strength to really say, well, you know, I've been doing research on this, and I'm interested in, you know, just like being able to ask your provider, what do you think about this? Have you heard about this? I think maybe that's something that people don't even think about, just like sort of engaging in dialogue, because it's, you know, in these offices, in these doctor's offices, you know, we don't have a lot of time, and there's also such sort of stark hierarchy and power dynamics there. It's like, well, how do we even just have like a conversation with our providers? And I think just coming into a visit with that attitude, and it's really difficult, but I think just having a workshop like this where people can express their ideas and opinions can sort of help that strength grow.
How would you feel today, maybe talking a little about your own personal experiences, both consulting with practitioners and or being a practitioner, if you're comfortable sharing a little bit about that, and maybe towards our listeners getting an idea of how you've come to advocate for yourself and maybe how you advocate for communities you consider yourself a part of.
Sure. So, just trying to think here. So how I've advocated for myself as someone living with type 1 diabetes.
When, for example, like, when, how long have you known that you've been living with type 1 diabetes?
Sure. Sorry.
How old were you when you received the diagnosis, and like, sort of how did you start out going to practitioners for that?
Okay. Yeah, I'd love to talk about that.
Great.
I was 18 years old when I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. Type 1, I'll just give a brief overview about what that is. You know, when we hear in the news about the diabetes epidemic, mostly people are talking about type 2 diabetes. Type 1 is sort of a little bit of a genetic anomaly. It's called an autoimmune disease where doctors don't know what triggers it, but my own body destroyed the cells in my pancreas that make insulin. So I don't make insulin, which is a hormone that is needed for us to metabolize sugar. So if there's a sugar will build up in my blood, which is very damaging if I don't take insulin, which I take through an insulin pump.
And then how did you feel when you, how did you even come to maybe go to the, were you not feeling well, or how did you decide to go to a doctor, or whoever you went to?
I was feeling really, really sick for a month. I had all the classic signs. I was so thirsty all the time. I was starving all the time. I was peeing all the time. I was tired. I could, like, barely walk. At one point, like, my legs gave out on me. I thought I was dying. Sort of convinced myself.
That's wild. That's, sorry to interrupt. Lauren and I are, like, just feeling waves of empathy for you here. So.
Thank you. Yeah, it sucked. And I, my aunt, my mom's sister, actually has diabetes. So I was familiar, at least, with these symptoms. And so, like, I went online, I remember, and I was like, shit, like, I was like, I have diabetes, you know? So I got myself, you know, I diagnosed myself, and I waited, I think, until I waited, you know, a little while until I could, like, deal with, like, hearing this from another person. And I was in school, the new school here in New York City. So I went to the student health services, and I said, to them, I have diabetes. I walked in, I have diabetes. And they were like, you do not have diabetes.
Oh my
and I
God.
Said, fuck
wow.
me, I have diabetes. And they're like, all right. And so they, you know, were not worried at all. They drew my blood. And I got a call the next day. They said, you have to come in, right, you know, immediately your blood sugar is like over 400. Normal is between 70, 100.
Wow.
So that started my whole journey, and then it was sort of a disaster because I was brought into the, you know, the center, and they're like, all right, you have diabetes. They gave me a prescription for insulin and syringes without teaching me how to use them, and like sort of sent me on my way.
Wow. And I'm guessing they didn't apologize for telling you didn't have diabetes either, right? They probably didn't.
Oh no!
Yeah. Wow. So, so what did you do then? How did you figure out how to use the insulin and syringes?
Well, thankfully, my aunt lives here in Brooklyn, and she and my mom actually advocated for me. Mm-hmm. They called the student health center and were like, "People are nuts," and tried to convince them to send me to the hospital. And finally, like, I think a couple of months after I was diagnosed, I went to Beth Israel Hospital and stayed in patient for a couple of days just so they could figure out what to do with me. And that was there that I met my first endocrinologist, which is a doctor who specializes in hormones. And so often people with diabetes go to endocrinologists, insulin managed. And I just, like, in those next couple of months, I met a couple of different endocrinologists, and I just was so awful. It was awful. I had awful experience. I had already hated doctors from being sort of young and fat and going to the doctor and being shamed. And so I already had this, like, chip on my shoulder. And then everyone was, like, were trying to figure out if I had type 1 or did I have type 2 and, you know, calling me all these things and telling me that I need to take better care of myself. You know, there's, of course, a lot of, like, blame involved in this illness. I didn't really start talking about this whole story, you know, probably, like, 5 years ago or something, you know, and I'm 33. It's something that I've held for a really long time. There's just a lot of shame, you know, there's just a lot of shame around that stuff, like body image and food and, you know, how well you take care of yourself. Because every time I have to go to the doctor every three to four months to get this blood test to see what my blood sugar was. And, you know, it's like they tell you basically how well you're doing. You know, it's like it was my responsibility, you know, to be taking care of myself, to be giving myself the injections, eating the right food. I think it was certainly this that led me to want to become a nurse. It was also how I saw other people being treated, you know, like my folks in my community, trans folks, queer folks, poor people, young people of color, like drug users, like people who were pretty much shamed and blamed for, like, their own health conditions. And, you know, it's still a struggle, to be very honest. You know, here I am doing this workshop, but it's a struggle still to advocate for myself and my, you know, in living with diabetes and, you know, all these doctors that I have to go to. I did find a really wonderful endocrinologist at the Naomi Berry Diabetes Center. But we don't, we still, like, I ask her a lot about, you know, these supportive therapies, and she doesn't know the answers. But at least I have, you know, found communities of people who are interested in supporting folks with chronic illness, and I've done a lot of research on my own in terms of, you know, how best to support myself, and I am really excited to be a provider who understands, like, the psychological and spiritual ramifications of living with chronic illness, but also who's done a lot of research on how to take care of myself, and so to be able to share that is important. The most important thing.
Is that one of the reasons why you wanted to and started studying Western herbalism? Hello?
Repeat the question. So is it?
Oh, sorry. I was just wondering if that was one of the, if that is then why you started studying Western herbalism, if that, you know, that desire to learn more supportive tools for managing.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes. Right.
So you started studying herbs,
definitely.
Right?
Say that again?
You started studying herbs then.
I did. I mean, I've been using herbs since I probably around that age that I was diagnosed with diabetes. My mom introduced me to, like, echinacea. It was, you know, my first herb, and it felt so it felt so great to take that into my own hands. You know, be like, oh, okay, so learning about this herb. And I can, you know, be critical enough to, like, know when to take it. And, it just is really empowering to me, learning about different ways of healing, specifically North American herbs. Absolutely.
How's it been for you navigating the education, becoming an allopathic licensed practitioner, but also having kind of all this other experience, both as a patient and also as a practitioner of herbalism? How's that been for you?
You know, it's actually been surprisingly great.
Great.
I mean, certainly there are some problems, and there is, I mean, serious underlying problems, homophobia, transphobia, racism, just complete disregard for different kinds of healing. However, I feel like my colleagues and the people that I'm in school with really appreciate and are interested in different ways of healing, and, you know, we're able to share those kinds of stories, and I just try to bring up when I can things, you know, that I'm interested in and that I know about. I also come to this schooling, you know, with the knowledge that certain things won't be supported. So I feel like I maybe that sounds jaded or something, but I, you know, in my years of being a nurse and experience with chronic illness, I know that there's a level of disregard. But it's also very exciting because I feel like so many of my colleagues are interested, as I said, in different levels of healing, different ways of healing. Actually, just talking to one of the providers that I worked with at Cal Ward, who did this very long acupuncture training in China to do this training, and he is licensed in HIV medicine. So he met folks in China trying to do research that linked TCM and sort of Western HIV care. So there's, I feel like there's more and more really exciting things that I hear about. And so I carry that with me in my schooling.
That's great.
That is great.
We just had, Emmett just came up to visit too about a week or two ago, and we took a little walk in the woods behind my house where I live, and we sit down on a rock in the middle of the stream, and we just, you know, are catching up, and then, you know, all of a sudden I turn to Emmett and I'm just like, so tell me everything you know about the liver. And we, so that was really fun. We just, you know, shared all the info that we know, you from, you know, Emmett doing the allopathic stuff, and me, and both of us actually, like we just said, learning about herbs and Western herbalism. And so it's really fun to have you, Emmett, as a colleague and a comrade, because I learned so much from you, and then we get to share the things that we're learning together. It's exciting. I'm glad you're getting to do that with the people that are in your program and people that you work with.
Thank you. I know I'm like immensely excited about being able to share information with you.
And I want to say, I haven't gotten the chance yet to sit by the stream with you, but I'm really glad to meet you today, and I'm really grateful that you're willing to talk about your personal experiences. Lauren and I, on our show, we really enjoy having folks from all sort of amounts of engagement, whether as so-called patients or practitioners or just regular folks talking about their own specific experiences. And we both find a lot of solidarity and increased knowledge about ourselves from just listening to other people's stories. So thanks a lot for, you know, being transparent and open and willing to share. I think our listeners really enjoy that too.
Yeah. Well, we should promote this event one more time, because we have to wrap up in a minute. But again, the event is Going to the Doctor on Your Own Terms, Mixing Allopathic and Holistic Healing with Emmett Phipps, who we've been talking to today, and Jelani Fontaine. It's on Sunday, December 4th from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Third Root Community Health Center, which is at 380 Marble Road between Cortelyou and Dorchester Roads in Flatbush, Brooklyn. It's the Q train to Cortelyou. It's actually right around the corner from the Q train stop there, and you can probably find out more right at thirdroot.org.
And we'll be posting the information on our Facebook page later today, along with the MP3 file of the show. And as always, you got listeners, thanks for listening, and if you have any suggestions for the show, questions, comments, ideas, you want to be on the show, drop us a line on the Facebook page or email us.
And our next show will be Monday, December 19th. So catch us in about a month.
Always the third Monday of the month at 3 o'clock.
Right. And Emmett, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you, guys. It was really fun. Thank you so much. It was great to talk to you.
Likewise. Thanks for coming.
Okay, take care of yourselves out there.
All right. Be well, everybody. Thanks.
Interested in health, wellness, and radical politics?
Want to hear interviews, skill shares, and voices from our community?
Tune in every third Monday of the month at 3 p.m. to Roots Runners Rhizomes, Health and Healing from the Underground, with me, Lauren Jambroni.
And me, Sarah Faulkner.